Yap, yap. You know what? That's exactly what I hate. Because what you're doing, Davina, is taking one thing and calling it something else and just, you know, alleviating the responsibility that these people have for their own actions. You know, it's like saying, it's not a riot, it's rage. It's not crime, it's poverty. It's just nonsense. Bullshit. You know, it's exactly what happened in this trial, too, because the media twisted things around, so people got all focused on, you know, these cops and whether or not they were going to get convicted and whether Rodney King's civil rights had been violated. I mean, everybody lost sight of old Rodney King himself. I mean, the guy's a multiple felon. By his own admission, he's high as a goddamn kite, driving 120 miles an hour down the highway. He gets pulled over by a bunch of cops, and he attacks them. He attacked police officers. That's the bottom line. And he walked.
Yeah, and there's some yahoo there with a video camera who turned it on halfway through so that all we see is them hitting him.
Exactly. You know, you got your Powell and Kuhn winding up and cracking him with billy clubs and Bersanio kicking him in the back of the skull. So it looks severe, you know? And people are going, oh, this poor guy who attacked four cops, and those cops end up on the stand defending themselves for using absolutely standard textbook self-defense procedures.
I don't think that the tape showed that at all.
Oh, you didn't think so, huh? And what, you're an authority, Ma?
At the dark end of the street, that's where we always meet, hiding.
So hi and welcome to the Ending Movie Podcast. This is Angelo.
No, this is Damon.
And this, my friends, is Douglas. I don't know why I said that. It's okay. Because you're feeling special today. First of all, you're happy that Damon is back.
Yes, Damon is back.
You no longer have to have no one to joke with. Because when you look at me, you're like, Andrew, you're serious.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do I make fun of you right now? You're not going to laugh at when I make fun of you.
You're taking this movie shit way too seriously. Remember when we started this, it was just, we're talking to each other. Now you've let the internet come between us.
Yes.
You're talking to them instead of to us. Cheating on us with other internets.
Always.
Bastard.
I just had another episode of the Movies You Love go up.
Of course you do. I'm never going to tell you what I think about that podcast, by the way.
Never going to tell me.
Never going to tell
you. Just let it stay there forever.
Forever.
And then one day when this is over, for whatever reason, you're just going to whisper to me,
your podcast sucks, dick. Fuck your podcast, nigga.
And then I'll cry myself to sleep in bed.
Right before I twist the knife.
Movies You Love sucks.
Die.
Anyways, Damon, you're back.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you never came back.
Fair enough.
This week, I asked all of us
mm-hmm.
to sit down and watch Fruitvale Station.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey!
Shot fired, Fruitvale.
We're trying to get home.
What is going on?
Next stop, Fruitvale Station.
It's a film by Rand Coolidge. I'm going to hope I have that name right because I'm pulling it out of my head right now.
Not even close.
I feel like I may have this wrong in my head. And will I edit around this? I'm actually 90% right. Mm-hmm. It's Rand Coogler.
Right, so you're wrong. I'm 90% right, except for the fact that
I'm
wrong.
Can we just stop for a moment and appreciate the fact that this guy is one letter away from being Googler?
Okay.
I'm going to assume that's how you pronounce the name, Coogler. I'm pretty sure it's not. And this is his debut film.
Debut
film. Which is about this true story of Oscar, who died at the age of 22 during an incident at Fruitvale Station.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to watch this film mainly because it was the end of year kind of movie where I'm like, this is a movie everyone's been talking about for the last 6 months and I wanted to watch it, and we're finally able to watch it since it hit VOD, and I wanted to watch it and talk about it. And it stars this guy, Michael B. Jordan, who I will forever call Wallace. I'm happy Damien nods. Do you know, on a side note,
mm-hmm.
I knew this guy because
mm-hmm.
I had seen him in stuff like as in this state, this age.
Right.
And I didn't know he was Wallace until I saw Chronicle, which he was in. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Chronicle, you see an image of him when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like Wallace. And I'm like, shit, that's Wallace.
It's Wallace.
Where's Wallace?
Where Wallace at? What happened to Wallace?
Oh, good.
I love that show. And
I think we're the only ones.
Maybe. We yeah. might be. And as I said, it's a movie about this guy around New Year's Day, and this incident ends up happening with him at Fruitvale Station. I kind of want to go out on a limb and say, oh, this is kind of a fantastic movie. And there are only like two things I want to bring up questions with, like as how the movie was put out. Because talking about details about the actual plot of this movie, there isn't really much to kind of summarize, because it's really that one incident we're leading up to, which is a true event, and it kind of even precedes the movie itself, where we have this camera footage which obviously looks like which looks like it's the cell phone footage people were taking on the day of the event. And the thing that I guess Douglas will talk to, and he kind of half mentioned it to me, which I'm not going to say bothered me as much, but I guess it just kind of, it felt like they were just pushing the hand even more, which was the fact that there were just so many moments throughout that day that we were following him on, where the movie just reminded us, hey, this might just be the nicest person in the world, right?
Just don't dwell on the fact that he's like an ex-convict and just got in a
he's
really
a good
fight.
Dude.
Well, he's a really good dude.
He good people.
He good people. He helps white ladies out with catfish.
Right. If you call your grandma, help white people cook food.
And the weirdest part about it is for almost every one of those events, it almost feels like the movie wants you to have this point of reference where you want to imagine he's going to do a bad thing for the first time. Right? Even after the first time where he's at home with his daughter, or he's in the supermarket, or he sees the dog. Like, you imagine he'll do something not necessarily bad, but something maybe ambivalent, where you're like, oh, so he kind of just was okay there, and he was like, whatever there, and you're like, okay, so he has flaws, right? And I mean, you guys mentioned it, he was in prison, and yes, we can count that down, but you can almost hopefully say that that was part of his past.
No, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm not being like, oh, all prisoners, they must die or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
And I mean, like, it just keeps going until we eventually get to this event, right? And how the movie does it for me is that it does what I know Douglas hates movies to do, which is it forces me to feel, right? And People have two ways of going about that when movies do this. They can completely accept it and let it just take over themselves and start to weep, start to hate the world, or they can reject it and say, fuck this movie for trying to make me feel ever.
What side do you think Douglas lies on?
I lie on the acceptance side. Because like when it happens, like I feel myself fighting it, and then eventually it just works on me. Like, I am with it. I mean, there are a couple moments in there where I'm like, I don't think I need to see that part of it. Like, for example, when, with the mother, Octavia Spencer, after the event, what the kind of stuff she was saying, where she was like, we have to lift him up, kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm not gonna judge it. I'm gonna leave it. I'm just gonna do whatever it does there. But I think the biggest question I have with this movie as to what the director did with how he brought it about wasn't all of the actual movie we saw, but was all of that cell phone footage. Right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's real.
No, well, I'm going to go out on a limb and
assume
it's real. Because even when the movie's over and we see it now, once again, the image quality downgrades, and I'm assuming it's not a cell phone, but some other footage we're seeing
of the
daughter.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They even write it, that's a real daughter.
Yeah.
So I kind of just take the movie for its word that opening bit where we're seeing the cell phone footage is the real event that was taken by, I'm assuming, a lot of the passengers of the train.
Yeah.
Because we have the technology now. And people will do that. Like, I don't mind movies which try to make the big event known to everyone up front, right? Where they're like, this is going to happen at the end of our movie. Now let's flip back and let's go through the day and just enjoy or go through this journey,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm fine with that. But the fact that this is kind of, we kind of bookmark it with the fact that this is a real event,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is something which really happened and something which angers a lot of people.
Oh, for
right?
Yeah, of course.
It,
yeah.
The reality of it, and even if this were a fictional film, which were kind of talking about these topics, it would anger them anyways.
Yeah, because it's a
right?
big hot topic, especially in the States.
Right.
Yeah.
But to have the real footage there, to give this movie a reality that isn't just that text saying based on a true story, right? I think that might be the one point in this movie and in movies like this where I'd say it went a little too far in emotional just
manipulation
for me. And at the same time, I'm wondering if it's necessary, because there are so many movies which have that based on true storyline alone, and we can go in with whatever knowledge we already have of the event and say, oh, it did a masterful thing of portraying this event so people will know. But there's almost a facade of just disbelief sometimes when movies do that, because I think you can even come to stories like Coen Brothers' Fargo,
mm-hmm.
where Fargo is, as they've put in the movie, based on a true story. But it really isn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of movies which have based on a true story actually are really a small element is a true story, and they allow themselves to do whatever they want for the sake of movie making, for the sake of entertainment, for the sake of just making everything come together right for whatever the audience needs. So do you feel like me, is it just a step too far in emotional manipulation, or do you feel that it's something which the director had to do so that everyone would know the exact reality that he's trying to come into?
I actually don't agree with you. I don't think that this
on
is
either.
I don't think I don't think that this is a step too far. I think the director took a tank and put it inside an airplane and took that airplane and went all the way across the world and then drove the tank a little further, and that's how far over the line he is, right? This movie, the more I think about this movie, the more I get upset about this movie. And let me at least preface everything by saying I actually do like this movie.
You're a terrible
person. Because it's hard not to like this movie. But
I love Michael B. Jordan.
But Andrew, this movie, it says to you, listen, guy, I'm going to show you the actual event, and I imagine, right, that they're just like, and then I'm going to just make up shit, right? And I'm not saying that this guy wasn't, a nice guy, but nobody's that nice.
But
right?
But hold on, my question to you is this,
just like
what I was saying with the reality and such. Since we have a sense of disbelief of movies where you'd be like that,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, I know this happened. The rest of it I'm not ready to believe is exactly true.
Yeah.
The fact that he has that clip in there, which we're supposed to believe,
mm-hmm.
is the real event happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we then believe more all the rest of the things in the movie?
I think he wants us to. And that's why I get upset about it. Because just off the top of my head, right? He tries to save a dog that gets, mauled in the street. He is the greatest father in the world. Nobody is as good as him, right? He has an opportunity to be a bad do illegal acts again and decides that the good thing to do is not. He says he tries to help his sister in problems that she. Do you want me to continue? This is all in an hour and a half, right? Actually, what I just said is probably in more like 20 minutes.
And,
right?
And let's not forget, it's his mother's birthday.
Oh, and it's his mother's birthday, and he's catering the shit out of it. He's he single-handedly carries everybody on his back to his mother's house so that they can be at her birthday. Like, it's... I know what he's trying to do, right? You're trying to humanize a guy. You're trying to make me like him so that when he dies in the end, and I hope I'm not, That's not a spoiler.
Stop spoiling real life. Because
it happens in the first 2 seconds of this
and
movie.
And it's generally the thing that drew people to the movie.
Exactly.
People know what that's a movie about. So
what he's trying to do is make us love him so that when he dies, we hate everybody involved in that scenario. Right? And
I don't think we hate those people as much as we just hate the world that this is allowed to happen in.
Sure, that too. That too. Everything. Right? So, and that just sort of blatant string pulling. Right?
That's the name of my new band, guys.
Blatant string pulling. String pulling. What kind of music are you guys going to play?
Ska, mostly.
No Radiohead-esque music.
But that sort of manipulation.
Can Bowie do a track with you?
No, it's a double entendre. String pulling. And
but
ska music.
Anyway, that manipulation, which you said it rightly earlier, it's just so...
Manipulative. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
It's just so.
Remember we missed Damien for a while, right?
I don't anymore. Andrew, the director doesn't even pretend to be making a movie that does anything other than play with
the string.
Isn't
even invisible. It's not.
Yeah, it's not a
like a chain
string. It's a fucking chainsaw like thing. What, Andrew?
Just cry already.
Exactly. And despite this, I still like the movie because it's a good movie.
It's pretty good.
But
it's a damn great movie.
But it's one of those movies where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this movie.
How dare you make me feel?
Because, no, I'm fine with movies that make me feel, right?
No, you're not. No, you're not.
No, if it does it well. If it does it well. For instance, I love The Intouchables. And I love it beyond any reasonable love for that movie. Right?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, let's say 12 Years a Slave or any other movie that I kind of didn't like on principle. Right? And The Intouchables is one of those movies where I know... I shouldn't like it on principle, but
because it makes you feel
exactly. But I loved it anyway. This is not one of those movies. This is one of those movies where I start off with the principle, and then I'm like, "Yeah, this is the example. This is the golden example that the rule is there for. This is why I don't like to feel in movies because this guy is an asshole." Because all he's doing, he's like, no, I'm not trying to really tell a story. I'm not trying to, you know, do anything cool. I'm not trying to entertain, so to speak. I am trying to make you hate these people, and I'm trying to make you love this guy. That's all I'm doing in this movie. And I have a fundamental problem with that, right? And you know, as much as the story is, it's a sad story, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So
your opinion is all of these stories deserve news only.
I don't even want to say that. But just the way that he attacked the story. It's not even a story.
He's not subtle.
He's
that
so
is...
biased. And exactly. Yeah. This movie is heavy-handed as all fuck.
Yeah.
Right? There is no... So with, you know, movies that I tend to like, there's more than... Well, I shouldn't even say it that way because that's not true. I like shit like The A-Team and Machete Kills. But...
Let's add that to the Fruitvale conversation.
Exactly, right?
Digging a hole.
But, but, you know, I think that movies, especially movies about things like this, need to transcend, right? Can I be pretentious here? Need to transcend just the simple sort of... The simple mentality of this person is right and this person is wrong and this is all I want you to know and feel and there is nothing else. As opposed to the fact that, you know, if you wanted me to know that and that was your sole purpose and you wanted to inform me of how bad this situation is, make a documentary.
Would you have been okay with a documentary?
Maybe. I don't know. And the thing is, as I keep saying, as much as, like, I'm physically hurt right now. I don't... Like, I want to not like this movie, but I can't because there's just something great about it. This movie is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very fireably so. But god damn it, Andrew, I want to punch a director in his face.
I can only imagine if I got you to see this in the theater when you're in Toronto.
And just one last thing, and this is now more on the lighter side of things.
It's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Where Wallace at?
But is it, was I the only one that was distracted 100% of the time when the girlfriend, I think her name was like Sophina, right?
I think is her name.
So when Sophina was on the screen, because she had that weird lip ring thing going on, and it was always just shining. Always, there was always.
I think that's just
reflection.
You. I think that one was just you.
That just annoyed
that
me.
One was just
that
you.
Annoyed
I think.
Me.
I think you might be racist.
No, I don't think that's racism, Damien. I do not.
So, Damien, you once came on this podcast.
Yes.
Once discussing a documentary about inner city violence.
Yes.
Talking about how you refuse to accept stupid people as a concept.
Christ.
Right? How did this movie work for you?
Goddamn nonsense. Why did you have to remind me of that movie? So can we just talk about this movie like a vacuum? We don't have to be angry about other shitty movies. So when this movie ended, I said, oh, right. I remember that happened. And then I went, I've been listening to BBC for far too long. Because I remembered the riots that he triggered. No one reported on him being shot. Everyone reported on, they're going to burn down this state in like 2 days' time. So everybody pack your shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this. And then once I realized, oh, this is a true story. Then I realized, oh, half of the shit that happened in this movie, straight up lies. But unlike Douglas, I went, I don't care. I don't care. I really, really enjoy this movie. Because for a lot of this movie, it is focused on him. And it is, the movie is small. There's, it hits the train, you never see more than three people on the screen at any point. It's just him, the girl, the daughter, or him, the other guy at the counter, and the... It's just him going through these things, becoming Nelson Mandela. He leaves prison, decides to let love shine or some such nonsense.
Oh my god.
Fine, he probably wasn't, you know, doing all of that madness once he was out of prison. Or maybe he was trying hard. But some of the things that they did was just embellishment.
Damien, he walked on water.
And aside, right.
He walked on water in this movie.
I gave the movie a free pass before it ended because of his interactions with his daughter. Watching, essentially, Super Dad. It's fun. It's fun to watch someone interact with a small child on that level. And you go, alright, maybe he's a horrible person. But at least it is clear that he loves this little girl. And you go, alright, fine. It's manipulation on both ends, but whatever. And then you see the movie keeps reminding you that, oh, he has anger issues. He went to prison. I love the scene when he's in prison and he's shouting at his mother. That is where I went, I love this movie now, and I don't care. Like, they'd have to do like some M. Night Shyamalan-esque type nonsense for me to turn, because when you...
He's kind of awesome,
right,
this movie.
When you watch, I've never seen a scene like that in any movie. Like, normally, even when people get angry, you don't see the range of emotions, right?
Yeah, it
is him being angry, his mother telling him to calm down, and then it's just this back and forth till his mother's like, you know what, I'm out. And he just blows up and then he comes right back down. But by the time he came down, there's like 9 million people behind him. And it's just this blow up and come down. Like, that is incredible. Yeah. And they make the movie and they make sure at all times you're focused on him, on what he's doing. And then so that by the end of the movie, even though it was telegraphed, you know any movie that is doing this. something real rough is going to happen in the end. And when the movie ends, you go, alright. And then they show the real footage. But even though the movie is clearly manipulating you, there's something about the skill and care that is taken with the manipulation. Even though it is on its face manipulative, you just go, alright, fine.
It's a perfect emotional roller coaster movie.
No, not there's no real roller coaster there. He is like, the movie starts out and you find out he's kind of a dirtbag because he slept with someone else, mm-hmm. right? And you go, alright, girl, meet dirtbag. And then you see the little girl coming and you're like, he's a scumbag, but he loves this little girl. And that is what they remind, they're like, he's a bit of a scumbag, but he loves this little girl. And they take that narrative all the way through. And then the little girl disappears. Then tragic shit happens. Yeah. Alright, I knew at some point. I didn't realize that the story that they were telling, so I was scared that it was going to be something tragic that happens to the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he would murder everybody in the world and end up back in prison. Like someone would barely bonks his daughter and shoots 90 people. Back in prison.
It's a Taken version of Fruitvale Station.
Maybe you took it a little too far. But at the end of the movie you go, alright, like, there's nothing, like Douglas was saying, like, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing subtle. It is just all of the movies presented on its face.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch it and you go, the acting is so good. And, like, he is such a good, he's so able to carry the movie that you go along with the movie for the entire time. And they keep it short. Like, more movies need to learn from this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they turn him into Jesus in, like, 20 minutes. And the movie was done. And when the movie was done, you kind of wanted more of the movie. Not, you didn't want to see what happened afterwards. But you go, yeah, could I watch this movie? But, and I prefer having that than going, thank God this movie is over.
Actually, I think the movie is even better than you put it in terms of that. I think the movie was just perfect in terms of the length and what they put in there and how they ended it. I think that was fantastic. The only thing, I mean, they didn't need the last 2 seconds where they went back to real life.
Right.
But yeah, that movie was perfectly paced, perfectly timed, it ended when it needed to end. It was great.
There was a slow mo shot of him playing with his daughter, and he just went, movie. And we understand. All right, movie. Fine. We get it. Right?
He's the best.
Get it. All right? Everyone's father sucks compared to this guy. We understand. Can we move it along?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Douglas, have good. You finally found a non Madea black movie you like?
You're mean. But yes, Andrew. This is a
sure.
movie.
Sure, yeah.
I like this movie. This movie is definitely
although,
4 out of
based
4.
On the fact that you like Madea movies, no, you do not like this movie. You can't do both. Mutually exclusive. If you like Madea movies, you can't like actual good movies.
So, am I, is it fair for me to say that this is officially Thump approved and we all think this is a 4 out of 4
movie.
But for me, I don't know about you, but for me, fuck this movie.
Thank you,
definitely 4 out of 4.
I'm with you.
This movie is great.
As I said when I was done, I wrote a top 10, then I saw Fruitvale Station. Fuck this top 10.
Like, I saw the name Fruitvale Station come up in many a podcast. I'm like, alright. And then I saw the poster, I'm like, this looks
did
like
you see the trailer?
Right now.
The trailer is fantastic.
I stop. Like, when it comes to end of the year,
it doesn't actually sell this, or at least the one that I saw doesn't sell this movie as what it is. But it's great.
What I like about end of the year time is that everyone starts talking about the best movies, and so I no longer need trailers. People say this is good. I'm just going to go in blind because that's always fun.
Yeah, that's
going
great.
In,
that's
you have no idea.
I hate watching movies that I know things about, which is sad.
You go in and you go, I have no idea what this is about. Because even like Wolf on Wall Street, a lot of people are talking about it. I've seen maybe half of the first trailer. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I know this movie. And then I stop watching it. Scorsese and DiCaprio is in it. No, of course I'm going to watch it. And it's the same thing with, I guess, Wolf of Wall Street 2, except now starring Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. What about the name of that one? Is
American Hustle.
Yeah, American Hustle. Right, where people keep mocking it, saying he's ripping off Scorsese, which, if you're going to rip off somebody, you might as well rip off Scorsese.
We thought he was like the inner city poet. He was this wandering spirit around the city.
He's like a wise man, a prophet.
How many records do you think he sold in America?
In America, 6.
Born in a troubled city.
Well, it's still a bit of a mystery how the first copy of Cold Fact actually came to South Africa, but it spread very quick.
I want Douglas to talk for a little bit. This week, I got him to watch another movie, which I feel is very manipulative, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. I got him to watch Searching for Sugar Man.
Is that the last year movie?
Last
year.
That's last year. Douglas, what did you think of what did you know of watching Searching for Sugar Man before you watched it, and what did you think coming out of it?
I knew not much. I knew music, I knew Searching, and I knew documentary. That's about all.
And you knew Sugar. You know Sugar. I mean, this is German.
Yeah. That's all I knew. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's all I needed to know then, because that's really all the movie's about. And
they assume you know nothing.
Exactly.
Because, who would know Sugar Man?
Let's who knows about that guy? Rodriguez. What? Mm-hmm. Guess what, guys? I love that movie. But who doesn't? Who like me wouldn't? I mean, I understand if, you know, there's...
Let's look at the demographics.
Likes music. Likes movies. Hates documentaries on a whole.
Right. And then right there, Douglas.
Yeah. I mean, guys, if you're giving me something about music, something about verifiably good music, of course I'm going to love this movie. His music just plays
exactly
the documentary,
manipulating
which is
the hell out
exactly
of you.
Yeah. And no, this is the type of manipulation where I'm okay with.
Why?
Because I'm a music junkie.
You don't
right?
remember why you do. Right. What are they talking about? This music is incredible.
It's weird rewatching it with him this time. This is the first time I'm watching it since I saw it last year. There are two things I noticed. First of all, the first time I saw this movie, it felt to me like the He's Alive mm-hmm. thing came out of left field.
Right.
Where you just, I almost remember not recognizing it being a real thing until his head popped out the window.
Right.
Kind of deal. And when that happened, I was like, Jesus is alive! Kind of deal. The second thing I noticed, there was a performance that you saw a video of mm-hmm. later in the movie, and you saw women throwing their underwear at him.
Yeah.
And I never noticed that.
Yeah. I
remember halfway through that
wow.
show, I started tearing.
I remember you saying that, and I was like, oh, Damien, that's perfect.
I don't like this movie anymore. I had to stop the movie. It's a real men don't cry. Let's be serious. Let's be serious, though. Nope. Sugar Man, you almost got me.
Yeah.
Turn that shit off. I went to do something and came back when I felt more manly. I think I chopped down a tree or stabbed a bear with a knife. I said, yep.
Yeah,
feeling up to the task now. Let's go, Sugar Man. Let's see what you got.
And then you feel it trickling a little bit.
My manliness was too powerful.
And it's such a feel-good story. You know?
That is why.
This guy somehow inspires... Well, I'm sure it's minimal, but the way they coach it somehow inspires a whole country to revolt against apartheid. Fuck Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. Right? This Rodriguez man was awesome.
Right?
And
I hope they remember that when he dies.
Yeah. And then, you know, they have these stories going around.
I have a proper translator this time. That's some guy throwing up gang signs.
Oh my god, some schizophrenic man trying to pretend like he knows what to
oh
sign.
My
that
god.
Was great.
South Africa, you just did the biggest disservice to your country in history.
But
I almost forgot about that.
You know, he said he saw angels
yeah.
come down, right?
I listened to that interview 100 times.
I can't wait for the Ryan Coogler movie of that.
but I mean, and they know, you know, they know that he's dead, and all they want to do,
mm-hmm.
all they want to do, Damian, mm-hmm. Andrew, all they want to do is just to understand his story
mm-hmm.
because they don't know much about him. They just want to know who is this guy that
mm-hmm.
that helped us along
yeah.
this path. And you're like, wait,
holy fuck,
he's alive?
Shit.
He just, you know, wasn't famous?
Yeah.
What do you mean he wasn't famous? This
like
is like the man.
This is everybody
in
this
South
is
Africa.
This is the Bob Marley of South Africa.
Exactly.
Like, I just love the idea that an album found its way in the country and just got pirated into amazingness.
Look, you wouldn't steal a car, would you?
And I go there and Rodriguez is like, money?
What
money? I remember there was one point in the documentary where I really had to laugh because they got an interview with somebody who owned or actually previously owned,
mm-hmm.
because it went belly up, one of the record labels that had to do
records.
With distribution.
Yeah.
And he
was
so aggressive.
So angry.
He's like, who gives a fuck about Rodriguez?
Where would I get
money?
What the hell are you talking about? Where would I get money from, South Africa? Are you guys drunk?
Oh, he's so angry. I'm like, good job.
I was just like, wow. Like, you see that
following
point,
the money to
get a
gunshot.
And there's two things that came to my mind at that point. One, clearly he thinks they're accusing him of
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the fact that he got so defensive means he probably took that money and put it in his pocket. anyway.
Why is it sad that that's the exact same thing I thought?
When I was watching that scene again, I was like,
I didn't even think that.
I didn't even think that. I thought he was just like, the guy came to him and thought somehow asking him questions
yeah.
would get him further along in his
mm-hmm.
in his journey
mm-hmm.
to finding the answer
and
to
the
Rodriguez mystery.
Like 2 seconds away from stabbing him in the face.
And he's just like, I have no answers for you, sir. Where are we interviewing? Like, I almost was like, why didn't they cut this?
YouTube is magic.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I agree. It probably should have gotten cut just for the flow of the movie. But for me and Damien
yeah,
and Jerry,
oh,
it was great.
So good.
but yeah, so I don't know how much out of left field it came, because for a long time I was like, I bet you this guy's alive. But
actually, when I was
uh-huh.
watching it again, I was realizing this thing where everyone who had their story of how he died was different.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that set me off this
mm-hmm.
this time rewatching it, where
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he must be dead.
I caught that the first time. I'm like, oh, these people are liars.
Yeah.
Once there's like 3 different stories about how somebody dies, nobody knows.
Exactly.
What
it's
this
like
is
children,
a joke.
It's like children in a schoolyard trying to pretend that they know about
mm-hmm.
something, and so there are a bunch of different stories
yeah.
going around, and it's all from that guy. You know, the
I
guy
heard
that
he lit himself on fire and blew
yeah.
up a gas station. What are you people? What?
Maybe it's because I went into that movie the first time going, oh, this is a story about a guy who died,
yeah.
and everyone talked about
yeah.
his music, and I just kept that in my mind for the whole movie.
I think the thing that really got me about that movie is just how little he cared about the success part of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
even after he went there,
yeah,
he's like, I'm not staying there. Like, I have things to do back at home
right.
in the shack that I
you
live
know,
in. Like, what
yeah,
is
yeah,
he
have
has,
a, I have a wall to build.
To carry
and
it's
back
and
in the snow.
And
like,
steel to knock down. Yeah, I never did understand that.
He's a real ass man.
What? No, I don't think that's exactly how
it
I
is a measure of
I mean,
manliness.
I mean, you know, they tried to play it as...
Is that why you tried to cry in the movie?
No, don't
that
hurt
is manliness
right.
outweighed your
that
manliness.
Is it. That is precisely it. Is why I stabbed the bear in the face.
They definitely tried to play him as this noble, you know, person. You know, he doesn't take the money. Whatever money he makes, he gives away to charity or his family and things like that. And while that is a noble thing, to see the way that he lives, right? It's
you're like, why
it's
didn't you
upsetting.
Buy yourself a metal
but
toy?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen and heard many a story about people who essentially, like, once you've done it
mm-hmm.
long enough, like, to me and you, it looks like, why are you doing, like,
mm-hmm.
there's, like, a place with, like, heat.
Yeah.
And, like, internet and TV. Like, what are you doing
but
here?
Forget
in, like,
internet
a shack?
And TV.
Right.
There's places with beds.
And
know, there's places
but
with
think about it. If you've done a thing so long for
yeah.
so many years, at a certain point, it is just this is how. Like, even if you know that you can't change, you don't care to change.
I suppose, and to be fair, the fact that he lives the way that he lives is probably why he's so sprightly. I'm sure he looks old,
yeah.
But he looks like, yo, he beat all three of us up.
Trust me.
In if we tried to gang up on him, he'd be like, what,
son? We're all dead.
What?
You're all dead.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
I love that movie.
Okay.
I've seen it 3 times. And
that movie's fantastic.
I saw it once with somebody, and she, let's say she wasn't a fan.
And
it made me angry. No, of the movie.
Oh.
And it made me angry. There's very few times when someone doesn't like a movie I like that I have a... Like, I'm physically angry at the person. Because even if it's a movie... Like, if someone says... If I'm sitting with somebody and they do like Dark Knight or whatever, I just write them off as being an idiot. Like, oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, you mean what you do with me every day?
Like, this fool don't have any sense. And... But when I get... You know what? And I just left. So I I had to pack up my toys and go home.
And is it crazy that, I mean, I'm sure he got screwed royally on whatever contract he signed. But when I watch this, I think to myself, one, how many people have actually seen this movie? And two, out of those people, how many of them did exactly what I did, which was go immediately to Amazon and see if you could buy his album? And I know I'm going to get both of his albums sometime very soon. And I need to... the fact that at the end of the movie they talk about his third unfinished album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm searching, Damien. I'm searching.
I need to see 2 cents of.
Yeah, yeah.
But
how
doesn't
much
care.
Money? And that's the thing. He doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
And
make sure you buy from the South African label.
You wouldn't steal a car, would you?
You love that, don't you?
I love
you?
It. Oh, it's so dumb.
And Jackie Chan comes, you know. So, the pitch game.
Are
you guys ready?
I'm
ready. Yeah.
I have terrible news for you guys.
What's that?
I've picked terrible movies.
Of course you have. That's the point of this game.
I pick bad movies.
Who wants to go first?
I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to pick
good movies.
Good movies.
Okay.
All right. So I think what would be best is if we pitch to Douglas first, since he seems in the most receptive of moods, as opposed to us who are like, what are we going to send. Damon, you want to go first?
No,
I'll go first. Alright.
Go away.
Alright. So this is a movie set in Italy about a writer who's only written one book, and people always ask him, why have you written more books? And he generally just doesn't care. He's just running around the world having fun, screwing all the women, looking at all the art, going to all the parties, and just enjoying his life. And basically the way I look at this movie is it's the best meditative thought about life as how the best way to live it, and like the best version of 8.5, which I don't think you've seen, but whatever. Yeah. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Alright. There are two people who made their names on TV shows, like big TV shows. One is a man, one is a woman.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, you're talking about in real life?
Yes,
okay.
In real life. They,
yeah.
And they pulled these two kind of desperate people, great actors in their own right, but one is more known for drama, one is known for comedy, and they pull them together and given us a movie that I think might be better than The Kids Are Alright. Yep, good. I'm good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what he pitched me.
What did I pitch you?
He pitched me The Grandeur of the Great Beauty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Movie's great.
Did he pitch me? TV people?
Mm-hmm. Big names.
Drama versus comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie that's better than The Kids Are Alright.
I think it might be better than The Kids Are Alright, yeah.
Wow. It's not Nebraska.
You wouldn't have seen that.
I don't know with Damien. Damien get some.
He flew to America. Yeah. Watch Nebraska.
Why do you think I was missing last week?
Anyway, I don't know what Damien is. I'm not even going to try and guess what Damien all right. is pitching to me. But I am going to. I have to pick which one I want to watch, eh? Damien, you didn't tell me enough. Okay. I like Andrew's story.
Fine.
I think I'm going to have to go with Andrew again. That's our second week in a row that Andrew's won.
Yep.
What is your movie, Damien?
Enough said.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Damien,
I wanted to watch that movie.
That movie looks horrible.
It is not.
I know. Everybody says that.
It isn't.
Everybody says that.
Isn't
it's
at
crazy.
All.
Once again, he's rejecting it
mm-hmm.
because he feels like it'll make him happy. Nice. It'll make him feel something. And he doesn't want to feel anything.
You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about feeling anything. It's really... Like, I think it might be better than The Kids Are. Like, I'm not joking at all.
I so wanted to watch that movie.
It's pretty good. You know what else is pretty good? Snow on my keyboard. Swiftkey is the best! Have you done this? Swiftkey is the greatest.
Oh, no, I haven't done
There's
that.
Snow on the keyboard.
Alright, guys.
It's pretty good.
Douglas, let's pitch Damien now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. Are you ready?
Yes, I am. I just inputted my what I always do is I save the person that wins.
Tell me, go.
All right, go. So, Damien,
mm-hmm.
here are some facts, right? I'm giving you facts. One,
facts.
Children are dumb.
That is a fact.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they get dumber in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Three, they get dumbest when there are no adults.
I don't know what movie you're pitching me.
There is a movie based on this concept,
mm-hmm.
and this is that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say
yep.
about this.
I wonder if Damien has seen that movie.
Like, if you had pitched this to me next week, I'd have already seen the movie.
All right, I'm going to go. So, there is an Asian film.
Racist.
About mixed martial arts.
Kung Fu!
In which there is a person who knows nothing, who must train to know everything to be the greatest in mixed martial arts that ever existed for a mixed martial arts tournament.
This sounds dumb.
That is a movie I'm pitching you.
You say you're pitching me Kung Fu. Douglas pitched me Kings of Summer.
Yes, he did.
And it is Kings of Summer versus generic Kung Fu. But Andrew, if Douglas had pitched me Kung Fu, I'd have known it. He has a reverence for Kung Fu.
You're telling me I'm an idiot.
No, I don't think you have the same reverence for Kung Fu. And so, plus I really want to watch Kings of Summer. So. Kings of Summer. What's
the movie I'm pitching you is called Unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good movie.
No shit.
I can define this movie as being montages, montages, montages. And it's great for that. Some great MMA action. But there are, like, they show you a lot of MMA workouts and
mm-hmm.
MMA, and it makes my body hurt
exercise.
To see those exercises exist. Like, there's one, like, I knew a lot about them because at my old office, a guy who worked there, who I talked to a lot, is into that world. Like, he was training in that world. And he'd come back and tell me, oh, we have this bag, and we do this thing. And I'm like, you are crazy. And I kind of knew what I was getting
mm-hmm.
into. But I have this one exercise where the guy, like, you know what a push-up is? Not a push-up, but you know, a sit-up is,
mm-hmm.
right? Imagine doing a sit-up while you're lying on your belly,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're lifting yourself up.
Yeah, it's a Superman.
I have never seen that before in my life.
And it is the worst thing in the world.
Like, that just looks painful.
It is.
So
you lie flat and you do this.
Yeah. No. And then he pulls himself back
yeah.
into
and it is the worst. I've done it. It is
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't do it anymore. It's fucking terrible.
Oh. Anyways.
They're bad people.
They're just mocking me for being fat.
Alright.
So. Go.
Since you've. No, I'm not ready.
Oh.
Okay, so I guess I can go.
I'm going to go back to picking shitty movies because he pitched me garbage.
So Douglas wants to go first, or
I'm ready.
All right, go.
So Andrew, guess what? Prison sucks.
I didn't know this.
What?
And there are actually people who don't like being there. Right? I know that's weird, but just hold on. Just wait for it. So this movie is about one of those people that just don't like being in prison. And guess what? He tries really hard not to be there. Like, all the time. And that's it. I'm not going to say anything more.
It's a pretty shitty pitch. Alright, go. So there's this comedy that stars women. Dumb women. Dumb women that are trying to do so, to recapture their past in the dumbest way possible. But the rest of the movie understands that they're dumb, but are not treating them as dumb women. And it leads to some moments of brilliance and some moments of blinding stupidity.
I have no fucking clue what's going on here. Because I think those are two horrendous pitches. Like, not even movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous ideas in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue what either of your movies are.
Good.
I'm going to pick Damien on principle.
Wow,
work.
Wow, on principle.
Move.
Move. Because
you don't like Taxi Driver.
I picked a classic. I picked Papillon. So that's what I pitched to you.
Yeah, mine is not that good. There's this movie called Ass Backwards.
Oh,
oh no.
Shit!
Oh.
I saw a trailer for that. The movie
that's
looks horrible.
Yes,
guys, there are some moments that are they are spectacular.
He said to you he was going to pitch you a bad movie.
No. Look, if you go in with the right mindset, you'll have
like Machete Kills mindset.
Right, yeah. Douglas, they're trying to win. They're grown women that are going back to win a pageant. Right?
Yeah.
And
actually, I think the girl June from...
yeah, I know
yeah,
she's in it.
Yeah,
June
yeah.
Diane Merrifield.
And so they are
is
delusional.
Is it
but the rest
good,
of the world...
Is it as good as the one with Phoebe from the 90s?
Oh my god.
What was that movie called?
The one with the prom. That one?
Yeah. It's a high school reunion and
yeah.
they're going back.
Yeah, Mira Sorvino is in it as well. I know what you're talking about.
Roxy and something? No.
Some bad movie. I don't like that movie.
Her name is Lisa Kudrow. Why can't I remember her name?
Because
one night
all you can think is Phoebe
what
Katz.
Is that? What's the name of this movie? Oh, how is it not in the most famous ones?
How is this terrible garbage not in her most famous movies?
Romy and Michelle.
Yeah.
Romy and Michelle.
I'm going to say I'm proud I didn't actually. No. Maybe. I don't care.
Hey, you have sisters. That's your excuse for
guys,
most of these movies.
Guys, like, I don't want anybody to think this movie is great.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. But if you know what you're going in, like, they write something that is so, like, it is so dumb that at certain points, like, you see light peering through the darkness and you go, this is incredible, this is so dumb. Like, at one point they, because they're dumb girls, they watch a lot of reality TV, and there's this show about interventions, right? And so they meet one of the stars of the intervention, this junkie guy. And spoiler alert, he's still a junkie. And he takes them in. And they're so dumb. That at a certain point, he's lucid and he's like, I don't want any more of this crazy. Like, you guys have to leave. Like, this is... Alright, guys. Congratulations. Yeah, it's really... There are some really good moments in there, but it is still, like, the name of the movie is Ass Backwards. Like, you should know what you get into.
And there was a recent movie called Bass Ackwards.
Bass Ackwards, yeah.
Which I was looking forward to, but I never watched. So I was confused with it. Okay. Moving on to questions.
last week I was asking people about black and white cinema within like modern times versus...
I wonder how many people got offended by my conversation with you on black and white. I'm pretty sure that if the
all
right person...
Them.
Yeah,
all of
yeah,
them.
All of mm-hmm. them.
Look, Douglas, Damien,
mm-hmm.
he eventually just went down, he's a moron.
Yeah.
Like, he just admitted it. And most people came on the side of saying they're fine with it as is, just being what it is in movies and enjoying it. And it eventually became just a conversation about their favorite modern black and white movies. And the responses came back with John Ursler. I hope I'm not ruining that name. The Man Who Wasn't There, the Coen Brothers movie, which I still haven't watched.
Yeah, there are a few of those I haven't watched that I need to catch up on.
Shane McNeil at Comeback Shane mentioned Good Night and Good Luck. You guys like that movie?
I remember liking it. I haven't seen it in a while, though.
Damien looks uninterested.
It was alright. But I remember I saw that movie at that time where I would never appreciated that movie.
First time watchers mentions Francis Ha as well as Ed Wood, and also The Mist question mark as a movie that was
actually released in color, eh?
Yeah, but
yeah.
It was on disc,
yeah,
it
on
got
disc
a black and white,
black and white, yeah.
It was kind of awesome.
Well, that's
it,
how you wanted it to
was
be,
it?
Right? So, yeah.
Was it kind
yes,
of awesome?
Yes, I love
was
that
it?
Movie.
Was
I adore
it?
That movie.
Mrs. Terror.
Jason Gorber brings up Nebraska and Francis Ha, shouting at me to define modern, because he was like, modern, this came out last week. I'm like, thank you, Jason. You're a nice guy.
Oh, Jason Gorber.
John Peters brings up Ed Wood. Matthew Price discusses Manhattan as well as Ed Wood. Lots of love for Ed Wood on the internet I found, even though, to be honest, that's a movie I don't quite like. You guys like Ed Wood? Okay.
I don't know.
Nope. I mean, I like it for the ridiculous...
I watched it when I was probably like 11.
Right, exactly. There's many a movie I'm pretty sure if I went back and watched them today, I'd have had greater appreciation for it. Which is why I don't watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I watch the terrible ones and have nostalgia goggles. Flick away all Macy.
Of course.
Amateur cinephile brings up Good Night and Good Luck.
Tell him to change that name. Cinephile is the worst. Don't do that.
And my favorite response, which is a movie from this year, which honestly I don't think either of you will really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but I can't wait for you guys to watch because it's very special. It's Computer Chess. Now, if you know anything about chess, or you know anything about computers, this movie is the nerdiest, most amazing comedy I have seen in recent times. It is fantastic. Damien, the plot of this movie...
Computer chess?
The plot of this movie is that they're having a tournament of computers which are playing chess. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's during the time in the 80s where people are just doing this.
I'm already riveted.
There's a computer
mm-hmm.
which they figure out at one point doesn't like to play against computers. Literally, it resigns. And they start to play a real person against it and it starts playing amazingly. It's amazingly, weirdly hilarious. Damien is not looking impressed.
I actually really want to watch this movie. I'd love to see what sort of nerdness that I can understand. Because I do know a little bit about computers. Chess is not my forte, but I know how the pieces move. So, you know.
I love computers and I love chess. It should be terrific, right? No downside. Cannot wait. Tally-ho.
This week with, of course...
Wait, I wasn't here, so... Your favorite black and white movie of modern day? Did you have one?
I didn't have one, because that wasn't the question.
No. Yo, dog. What's
my
yours?
Favorite modern day... Oh, wait. There was one I forgot to mention, because I remember someone brought it up to me. I don't have the guy's name in front of me, but someone brought up in the search for Midnight Kiss.
God damn it.
Right. Which is, I know, a movie you and I have talked about a lot.
Yeah, I remember that movie. I remember not liking it that much.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You're a bad person.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm...
It would make sense for me to like it, because I was, especially back then, I was deep into that whole mumblecore is the greatest.
And it's a crazy one night movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like everything you want.
Exactly. I don't know what I hate.
You're busy. You're tired all the time.
How's thesis?
Raging Bull.
How is that modern? Isn't that like 100 years old at this point?
The 80s. The 70s or the 80s. That can still be modern.
Really?
Yes. Compare it to, say, Clark Gable or you know, movies when they were
black. My favorite.
No, but you see, here lies the difference.
Alive then.
Here lies
the
difference.
I think,
there was color TV
then. Yeah, I think
here lies the difference. With that movie, at that time, it feels almost the decision was.
Oh, I'm not being serious. Let's not debate this. I'm joking. Yes. But Raging Bull is pretty far back though. Like that is. It's almost 30 years old now, dog.
But I think you can
probably...
Can
30 years old be modern?
You can probably call... Yes, you can. You can call...
Douglas, I'm not talking about you.
But no, seriously though. I think you can call, or I would define, modern black and white movies as being any movie that was in black and white that didn't need to be because color was a standard. I think that would be a fair definition of the...
I think color was established in the 40s.
No, not established. The standard.
Okay.
It's like, no, there's a lot of 3D movies. 3D is not the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When it gets to be the standard, where like, if you bring out a black and white movie, people are like, seriously, guys? Really? That's kind of
not in
3D. Weird. That's when you can call it modern.
All right, you want me to get more modern, like in the last 10 years?
No, but I think that Raging Bull is a perfect example. I don't see why. Because... You know, color was the standard.
All right, based on that, then fine. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
If it was the last 10 years, though, I'd have probably picked The Mist.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, just off the top of my head, because I really like this movie, it's probably The Artist.
Oh, yeah.
The Artist.
And you are in search of a midnight kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with Christmas this week... upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and be the obvious question. Damon is shaking his head going, how dare you be
up.
That obvious?
Can I just say Christmas Vacation?
Die Hard, what are you talking about?
How are you not picking Rambo?
Die Hard.
How are you not picking Rambo?
Rambo doesn't have jack shit to do with Christmas, son.
They have a Christmas tree in there somewhere.
Punch this dude straight in the face.
Neither does Die Hard if you're looking at
hey,
it.
Hey, whoa.
If you're looking at it from the point of
whoa.
View where there are no Christmas carols being sung and all that shit. Then yeah, Die Hard doesn't
come. A couple of Santa jokes, that's about it.
Christmas is entrenched
it is
in Die Hard. It is not Die Hard sans Christmas.
We love that movie does not mean we can't
it
put
is
it
Christmas
in every,
movie.
In every category.
So yes, what is your favorite, or at least let me not put it that way. Let me not say what is your favorite. What is the movie that you...
watch every Christmas?
Traditionally watch every Christmas.
Christmas Vacation, most definitely.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
I am Nightmare Before Christmas.
And
yeah.
Love Actually.
I was about to say Love Actually.
Actually,
yeah.
Not
Christmas.
Love Actually.
Yeah.
Every Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, Love Actually
it's
is a
perfect.
Thing that I have to watch like every 5 years. Like,
it's
you
perfect.
Know, you know, it also feels like a Christmas movie. Well, not exactly Christmas, but more Thanksgiving-y period to me. And it may be something as stupid as there is snow in the movie, and because I am not from snowy climes, I always associate snow
the
with
the day after
Christmas.
Tomorrow, me too.
No, it's actually Groundhog Day, right? And I know, it makes no sense, but for me,
it's,
like...
It's winter
it's,
time.
Actually,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I understand it in a completely different sense, because what most people pick as like their traditional Christmas movie is that famous Jimmy Stewart movie, you know the movie, the famous...
You're talking about the one where he wishes he never existed?
Yeah.
What the hell is the name of that movie? I've never watched it, by the way.
I've seen it. I can't remember the name right now. Which is literally like only 2 minutes of a Christmas
something
movie.
Something about a good time or...
going to make me look it up.
I like that...
It's a Wonderful
Scrooge.
Life.
Wonderful.
Oh, it's a Wonderful Life. Which technically is really only 2 seconds of Christmas in that movie, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
But everyone watches it because it's that feel-good family movie and it's Christmassy. Groundhog Day feels like the reimagining of It's a Wonderful Life for me.
I suppose, yeah.
It feels like
the
80s version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, yeah, the 80s version. The
80s
were in the
90s. If the 80s were in the 90s. Anything with young Bill Murray is like an 80s movie, god damn it.
Have you watched that movie lately? Bill Murray is not young in that movie.
He looks young.
He looks younger than he is now. He looks like he's 40
there is
or 50.
Young
like
Bill Murray and there is Rushmore Bill Murray. There is nothing in between.
Nothing in between. Okay.
I like this conversation. And I say me things people point at me. Like, that's our dirt bag.
She doesn't know what she's talking about.
He wasn't trying to rape you.
Assault.
No.
What?
You sure?
Yes,
I didn't do anything.
Take the fucking gun from his head.
Talk to me, man. What?
This is just a big misunderstanding. That's all it is.
Slow. Turn around. Slow.
I was just making sure she got home safe. That's all I was doing.
All right. Look, sorry about that. No harm, no foul. It's just that we got a call that a Afro-American male was attacking a Caucasian woman.
You all right, man? Just a little excited.
What?
No problem. What?
Come on.
What?
Don't
give me
you
a
try
give
it.
Give me a reason.
Don't
man.
You dare try it.
Next time, man. Excuse me.
What are you, crazy?
Have a take it easy, all right?
I have your badge number. I will bring you up on charges.
This week, tying in with Fruitvale Station, I wanted us to talk about our top five films that make us hate the world.
You see, when you put it that broadly,
yeah.
I start thinking of bad movies.
Yeah. And you're allowed
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
No,
because
but
I
that
said,
is
I
not
said
what
him,
I want to
I said
do.
It to him
yeah.
today and I was like, I didn't think of that. I said it to him, listen, I have some movies on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And your list was, let me actually bring it up so I can read it word for word. His list is entitled Top 5 Movies That Make You Feel Bad for the
mm-hmm.
World. Not even hate the world.
Mm-hmm.
Feel bad for the world. And I said, listen, there are lots of movies that make me feel bad for
yeah.
the world because they have to watch this movie. And
right.
that's a sad thing.
And they make
like,
zillions of dollars.
Exactly.
Like
so
all
there are lots
the
of bad
movies,
movies that you can put on this. Exactly. But I knew what he meant, so I tried
right.
to keep with what he
the
meant.
The One Direction movie. Justin Bieber movie. And
so
on and
who
on.
Are we who's starting off? Andrew, because it's your movie, are you starting this one off?
I guess I'll start off. And to, like, the more I thought about this idea, is the more I started to try and widen my list a little bit, because it's obvious that the first way you think about this are general issue movies, like, you know, World War II with Nazis or slavery or whatever, and I'm going to get into some of those movies, I'm sure, but to start out, I wanted to pick movies that kind of did smaller things with society. And the first movie, my number 5, isn't necessarily a movie I love, but a movie that ideally does this for me. It makes me hate a part of the world because I can't believe this would happen. And it's Blindness.
okay.
Damon is just dying. Because
that wasn't even on my radar, but okay.
Have you seen a movie?
Of course, that's.
We went to the theater to watch
that
movie.
It was kind of sort of good.
I remember I really wanted to
oh,
watch
said,
it,
but you said you don't like it.
Yeah,
no, never mind.
I think Gael Garcia Bernal was in it, and I was like, I really
yeah,
love that guy.
I was talking about the idea of what this movie does, which is there's this quote plague, let's call it a plague, which just happens in the world. We're going to chuck all these people in a room
yeah.
and allow their little society to degrade little by little inside, and it's insane. I actually want to rewatch this movie to see if there's anything in there for me, like.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how good that movie is.
Yeah,
was.
It's not.
Damon.
Right, so, of course, terrible movies that most people watch made me the saddest, but that is not the list that I did. The list that I did are movies that, as Andrew said, made me feel sad about the state of humanity. Number 1 with a bullet is a movie that came out this year. is a movie that I made you guys watch, and is a movie that will stay with me for eternity, The Act of Killing.
That's my, that is literally my number one movie on the list.
Shit.
Yes, I forgot about
that movie. That's literally
if
the number
you
one.
You want to hate humans.
No,
I have
humans.
A movie for you.
You hate the whole country right. because of that movie.
Do you like people? Would you like that to stop? I have a movie for you.
The thing about that movie is more than talking about an issue or talking about people in a general sense, it takes you into their mind, their mental state.
And I think it's the only documentary, well, I really shouldn't speak like I'm educated at all, but in my mind, that is the only documentary that has ever done that.
Yeah,
you know,
they're the only
one
that have ever done
about,
it in that way.
You know, other documentaries talk about we take you into the mind by describing this thing
mm-hmm.
to you. No, these guys literally put
said,
you into
hey,
the mind of these people.
Here's this camera.
Yeah.
Tell me what you did 30 years ago.
So thank you, Damien, for taking my number one movie.
I have something worse than that for my number one.
So guys, my number five. All right, I'm going to go with this. I'm sure there are lots of movies because we like the same things that we're all going to take from each other. So I'm just starting from now.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is a movie by a guy that all three of us love. And that movie is called Requiem for a Dream. Ass to Ass. Yes.
That didn't even come close to my list.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really think of it in that way. Like it made me hate those people.
No, but you know, people...
No, that movie's crushingly
depressing.
It's depressing. Horrible.
And then, at the end, you know, you get to see a side of people that are exploiting these guys because of the situation that they're in. And, of course, they have put themselves in this situation. You know, they have become addicted to this drug and now need, you know, to have it all the time. And guess what? If you don't have money, there's only one other way to get this drug.
Excellent.
And it's to do bad things. Right? So, you know, that for me put this in... Actually, it should have probably been higher on the list. Even though I think I have some movies that I can speak to even more fervently. But yes, Andrew, it is now your turn.
So, okay. My number four movie is another... is a movie from this year. A movie Douglas hates horrendously. And it's an issue movie. It's one of these... we're going to talk about something which happened in history. And we have many stories like this, but this is a story of its own, and it's 12 Years a Slave. We always have slavery movies. They're all there, and we can talk to death about how horrible slavery was for society and history. But something about Steve McQueen's portrayal of slavery kind of hit me. And it's because he focuses it very much like Fruitvale Station, where this is a story which we could kind of talk about in like 10 other stories that are similar. This one focuses on this guy played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. And when we reach that end scene, and it hits us, like, I was ready to well up in tears. That movie is amazing in how it plays with emotions and how it kind of pushes that issue once again that we've heard 5 million times. Slavery's kind of shit and people did that.
Slavery sucks. It turns out. I also like that movie that will never be released in Jamaica that I've never seen. Thanks. Good job, guys. Fuck Tiff. I'm out. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Good. I was going to talk about a movie that had a lot of slavery, and then I changed my mind. Because, like, Roots is too obvious. Let's be serious. So I changed it to something that made me feel better at the end, and then, like, it was worse for the whole movie, and I felt better, and then I felt immediately worse after that. And it's Zero Dark Thirty. The entirety of that movie, I'm like, oh, the world is the worst. And then they murdered him, and he went, yeah, but you have to do all of that shit in order to get to this point. It's still real bad. So yeah, that movie. Plus, that movie's incredible.
Love that movie. Yeah, that movie's fun.
I still haven't seen that since the theater.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you have a TV?
Like, every time I think to press play, I'm like,
I'm going to feel so much now. I don't want to feel that much right now.
That's what terrible TV shows are for. And then you watch them and feel a little better and go, alright, back to depression. So good though.
So guys,
yeah.
I made us watch a movie a while back.
Mm-hmm.
It was in French. Mm-hmm. It was actually also in black and white now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is called La Haine. And that movie actually kind of sinks back in a little, in some ways, with the movie that we saw today. And it just, it hits you, man. I mean, and it, what?
The thing about La Haine is the end of that movie,
mm-hmm,
is where they put the thump in your face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then for the rest of that movie,
mm-hmm,
it is like, it is glorious.
Yeah.
It is heartwarming. It is fun. And like, and that is how I think about that movie. I kind of don't think about
be,
the
you,
end
but,
of the movie.
Even,
no, I understand why it's on your list.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to discover that. I just say, like, I never put it on the list because so much of that movie is, I find it kind of heartwarming in spots,
mm-hmm,
because it's all these people in this melting pot,
when
and the only thing that ties them together is that they're dirt poor, and you know they're just going around hanging out. And of course, when you're young and don't have anything to do, police don't like you. But then the end of the movie is,
oh yeah,
it is crushing.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of put that out of my mind whenever I think about that movie.
But you know, this movie has the same sort of aspects of Fruitvale Station. You know, you have, and I think what it does is, it, instead of focusing on one person, it kind of puts all of these characteristics, it splits it between the three main characters. You know, you have Vincent Cassel, who is a crazy ass motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
You know, you
I
have,
love when they intro him and you just see him dancing.
Yeah.
that is what I remember about the movie.
Yeah. You have Hubert, who is clearly, you know, he wants to be good. He doesn't want to be crazy or just do all of these bad things. And he tries to fight that at least a part way through this movie. And I can't really remember too much about the other guy, because it's been a little while since I watched it. But I mean, even through the as you say, the heartwarming bits of it, there are, you know, undercurrents that are woven, like, you know, at the beginning of the movie, and a big aspect of the movie is the fact that I can't remember exactly what happened. Either a cop got killed or a cop like started to beat down on some people, and there were some riots, and a gun was stolen from a police officer,
right,
and there was, you know, that big thing. And it just, you know, it plays on, as you say, the I guess lack of, I don't want to say rights, but sort of lack of breathing room,
mm-hmm,
to play with in terms of, you know, that relationship between
law enforcement,
yeah, law enforcement, or even not just law enforcement, but just the society in general that is, I guess, above a certain sort of line of demarcation, and, you know, people like the main characters. And, you know, you see it in the interaction with the police. You see it in the interaction between these three guys. And you remember there's like a rich guy that they,
mm-hmm,
they come into contact with. And you see also the way that they interact with themselves. And you just, you're just like, guys, there's a better way, you know? And
as I say, I understand your reasoning. I was just trying to tell you, just point out that, like, I understand all of that,
mm-hmm,
but, like, even now, as you're talking,
mm-hmm,
all I'm thinking about is, like, all of the things that I enjoy about watching. Like, the fact that, like, what you're saying isn't wrong,
mm-hmm,
but there's a lot of interactions between them that feel like interactions that I've had with my friends. And so that is how I remember it. I remember it as this fun movie. And then
A little bit of tragedy
right,
in there somewhere. I kind of just got blended away.
That you
faded
just
went, away.
This movie, it's incredible. Incredible movie though. And if anyone hasn't seen it, like, stop listening to this. Just stop and watch that movie and come back.
So my number three, now that Damien has taken Art of Killing, is my only documentary on the list. I don't know if either of you guys have seen this documentary. It's, I think it's a couple of years old now. It
if
was
the one about the fish. I'm going to slap you with this thing.
The fish?
The dolphin hunter?
No, it's not about that. Even though Yeah. No. have you seen Blackfish yet?
No.
This year's SeaWorld documentary.
My sister's like, damn man, you have to watch it. I saw this on CNN. It's the greatest shit.
Okay.
Alright. Just calm
down. Anyways, this documentary is a couple years old. It's by one of my favorite documentarians, Werner Herzog. And it is entitled Into the Abyss.
Wait, Werner Herzog only made one documentary.
He's
that
made
I've seen
lot.
And love. Slept. And that's the one that you have to say. It's the title. No, I'm just joking. But isn't Into the Abyss the one where he goes into that caves?
No.
No?
Okay. You're thinking
that
of Cave of Dreams,
Cave of Dreams,
which is fantastic. But Into the Abyss is a different film. Came out the same year as Cave of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the prison system, and more specifically about death row in prison. And he starts to focus on not just prisoners who are on death row who are going to be killed, but also the people who
know that
they are the executioners,
right,
kind of people. And there's so much that he gets out of those people in those interviews, where you realize as much as a society we want to talk about punishment for crimes and all these things, nobody should really ever be given that power, knowingly or not. That it wanes on you as on your soul as what you've done, and it is even we talk about movies like I Saw the Devil and all of the Korean revenge films where we give these heroes all the excuse in the world to be like, it's okay, you can kill this person, he's the worst individual in the world, and no matter how much of an excuse you can give this individual as an executioner, it still wanes on him that he was a part of this happening. And it's an amazing documentary.
That's why you should give that job to sociopaths. They have no feeling. It's a perfect job. Look, just don't kill anybody else, all right? Thank you. Speaking of I Saw the Devil, you son of a bitch. I Saw the Devil. Like, we've seen this movie and we talk about this movie. The end of the movie is what gets me.
Oh, so seriously, I saw the devil.
Yeah, like, seriously, I saw the devil. He walks down the road and he's in tears. Because no good has come of his exercise. And it is one of the very few at the end of it, you go, oh, that's right. If you do all these things,
yeah,
it doesn't work out for anybody. Sure, you have, you know, gotten revenge, but you still don't have the thing that you went to get revenge for. And all that is left when you've done playing around and toying with this guy. After you've killed him, you've nothing left. Nothing except to walk down a lonely road and cry. And it's just incredible. God, I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie is
so
awesome.
Depressing. So good. So good. Why don't more people like good movies, Douglas?
Because we live in a crazy world. So, Damien,
mm-hmm,
I'm happy that you went there. I'm
yes.
happy that you chose a movie like I Saw the Devil. Because that's exactly where I'm going. Right? And not in the way that you think. Not in the way that Andrew thinks. From a seam laugh, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, damn, Douglas just got another Korean big whatever. No. But it's kind of in, you know, in spirit. It's in the same spirit as Damien speak. This movie is madly fictionalized, right? And it's not something that you or I would expect to actually happen in the real world, even though I could actually probably troll the news and see very similar things, and we can, off the top of our heads, even recently come up with stuff kind of similar to this, but just not on the scale that this movie has. And guess what, guys? There was no way I could leave a guy like Lars out of a list like this. Lars directed a movie by the name of Dogville. And in this movie, I know Andrew doesn't quite...
I haven't,
you know,
seen it.
Yeah, he doesn't understand where I'm coming from, because he doesn't have that connection.
I know what it is. I've
yeah.
heard of it in
yeah.
high detail.
Yeah, but no, trust me. Until you watch
not
it...
Not just from you guys.
Oh, until you watch it, you don't... There's...
Yeah,
there's something about laboring through a 2.5 or a 3-hour movie,
right, and
like
then,
this.
When you see the end of the movie, you're like, yeah, the world is the worst. Everything.
Because because this is something that, not on this scale, but something similar could happen. I mean, look at, say, the Castro thing in the States, where he, you know, had the lady down there and was, you know, breeding children and then kind of putting them into that indentured sort of thing. But, you know, this movie is, and I'm sorry, if you listen to our podcast before, you should know what this movie is because we talk about it all the time. But in case you don't, this movie is about a girl, a lady, Nicole Kidman, trying to run away from her past. She runs away to a small town from the city, and you know, everything's hunky-dory for, I guess, a couple of weeks or however long it is, and then slowly but surely you realize that this town is actually imprisoning her and treating her, she's essentially a slave to the town. And just seeing that this sort of mob mentality and this sort of just, I don't think degradation is exactly the word I'm looking for, but this degradation of the of a human, or forget a human, of anybody or anything, right? It makes you uncomfortable, but not just uncomfortable, but you kind of have a loathing for these people. This movie kind of disgusts you. And that's, of course, what it's supposed to. But supposed to. And that's why I think it's kind of the perfect pick, or one of the perfect picks for this list, because you look at it and you're just disgusted with these people, and by extension, people who could do this. Yeah. And there are people who do this in the world. There are. This is clearly
not a joke.
Yeah. This is one of those based on true story kind of movies where you're like, yeah, we know this is mainly lies, but there's really there's a gem in there that could happen, you know? And that's just, wow.
It's real bad.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
That movie's great.
So I like where you guys have gone,
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to take a bit of a weird pick
for
this list, and I want you guys to give me a little leeway before I, before you start to tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
My number two pick is Duncan Jones's Moon. And
all right, yeah.
Like,
actually thought of that.
I'm fine with that.
Putting that on this.
You don't even need to explain. I'm fine with that.
Because the thing about this movie. Like, not looking at it from Sam Bell's perspective, but looking at it from a corporation and understanding business perspective. Like, you guys, Damien likes to make the jokes about me, of hippie Andrew to corporate Andrew.
Yeah.
Understanding what corporations are willing to do to the world just for profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of insane.
You see, if you listen to as much news as I do, you realize that, like, Moon is like a joke compared to what, like, things that really happen.
No, but if they could do that, if they could clone,
they would. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they've done worse things, like, recently.
You realize that all.
It's so bad.
You realize that all Foxconn factories have nets. In anywhere where people could jump, because they will jump, try to jump to their deaths. You realize that, right?
That is a thing that has to happen in, like, real life. A suicide net.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that.
I remember, I wonder if it makes me a bad person that I knew about that company before all of this hubbub, because I've actually owned their products. Like, not even their products through
mm-hmm.
Apple, because Apple
right.
kind of uses
like
them for all of the iPhones.
I
have bought Foxconn motherboards.
Yeah.
Two of them. And I was actually very happy with them. Good quality stuff. But,
Would you buy another now?
I don't know.
It's cheap enough, why not?
So, number two, Duncan Jones Moon. Guys, work is slavery.
Yep. You both hate this movie. I still think this is incredible. It's still probably my favorite documentary. It is the restrip to the O. Hey, you know how war is terrible? You should give this to our documentary a shot. And then you'll understand why. Like, we've all seen, you know, Army of Darkness, you know, stuff like that. But you can always take a step back and go, someone wrote that. When you watch Restrip and you go, oh, remember, this is a war these guys won. They won. This is them winning. This is what this documentary is about.
And when you see what winning entails, and then when you see them go home, and you go, okay. Okay. So to get gas down a penny, this is what we have to go. Yeah, I don't like this world. I don't like it anymore. It's the worst. It really is. Douglas.
Alright, so my number two is actually my favorite movie this year. At least so far.
Mm-hmm.
Iron
Man 3.
Yes!
I was depressed watching that. So boring.
Right. How dare the world. How dare the world not like Iron Man.
I mean, Mads Mikkelsen has taken over the world. And he has also taken over my heart somehow.
So Hannibal?
And The Hunt is the most fucked up movie this year. Do you know what this movie is about?
Yeah, I've seen... I know of the movie. Can you rate it for me on the Von Trier scale?
Are we done with the Guillermometer, by the way?
No, for fucked up movies, we can't use the Guillermometer.
I just realized
we haven't brought it up for a while.
Yeah, I don't think this really registers on the Von Trier scale because... Huh. No, the Von Trier
scale... It grounds itself in reality a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's very physical. You know, there are genitals cut off or there are people literally chained on a set that has no walls. Like, you know, Von Trier is outlandish. This is not outlandish. This is definitely a 10 out of 10 on a real person fucked up scale.
On a Fruitvale scale?
What?
I don't know.
Is it like torture porn? Is that?
It's not torture porn. What this movie is, it's a very emotional movie, right? And it tells a story of a guy who is, you know, he's a nice guy and most people in the town like him. You know, he's a part of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, goes hunting every month with his friends.
And then it's a man in the Iron Mask situation.
Exactly. Right. So, and for those of you guys out there who haven't watched this movie, right?
So everybody.
Everybody. what it's about is he's actually a teacher at a kindergarten. And one of the students, who actually happens to be his best friend's daughter, develops like a crush for him. And he kind of realizes after a time, he's like, whoa there. That's for, you know, big people to do. And
we don't play that.
We don't, exactly, right? And... You know, when you're young, and this is like, as I said, kindergarten age, so like probably 2 or 3. When you're that young, reactions to emotional hurts and what is reasonable and what is not reasonable don't quite enter the fray.
Right.
And so she was inadvertently witnessed some not safe for children visuals, thanks to her teenage brother.
Right.
And all of a sudden, because, you know, all she's thinking is, Uncle Mads is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do this? I guess I have to get back at him somewhere or something. I'm just upset, right? And somehow
she
just...
She said the M word.
Exactly. It just escalates. And she... you can see it in her face. She's like, wait, I probably shouldn't have done this, but whatever. Right? So she says, you know, Uncle Mads kind of showed me things and did things to me not good.
The M
word. Right? The M word. Mm-hmm. You know, the... Yeah.
The Christian M.
Yes.
Boom.
So, she claims that he molested her, right? And it just gets... It just gets worse and worse as the movie progresses. Because, like I said before, you know, that whole hive mentality when you're in a schoolyard just happens. And all of a sudden, he's molested everybody.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden, nobody will talk to him. All of a sudden, people are trying to kill him. All because this girl... makes this mistake that she actually tries to fix but can't because
she's too young
it's too and, late. And it's too late and parent, you know, parents kind of, it's a hot topic,
right?
You're never going to be able to go back on that one.
And in fairness, Douglas, like, you look at it and you go, it really is that, because that would really happen if we all had children and we sent them to the same school and then we heard one day, like, this teacher molested all your children. Yeah. Like, Oh, you mean the teacher did, because it's past tense. It's a rap. And the daughter coming back and saying, no, it didn't happen. Right? You'd play that away like, the teacher probably trying to manipulate my daughter, but it's too late.
Exactly.
You're done, son.
And you know, this movie just kind of gets into that world of how do you, as a person, and I'm talking about from Mad's point of view now, how do you live, mm-hmm. right? Because clearly, you have no friends.
Right.
You are unemployable,
mm-hmm.
right? You are a pariah in, forget friends, you don't even have acquaintances anymore. You just have enemies,
you have,
right? You can't shop, you can't take a stroll, you can't do anything
right.
other than stay in your house and hope that the rocks that they throw at your window bounce off the glass. Like,
you have one option. You only have one option. It is the pack your shit.
Exactly.
I have to leave now.
Exactly.
It's over.
And you don't have that option because
people are out there.
No, but not even just
police.
That. There are criminal repercussions for something like this. So it's not like he can up and move and be like, sorry guys, whatever.
You have to leave.
You have to stay there and wait for somebody, hopefully, to find you
swim
not guilty.
To Cuba.
You know?
Fidel will protect you.
Yeah. And this is just a movie about a shitstorm of bad things that happened to this one great guy.
Like,
maybe he's not a great guy, but
right.
he definitely... Well, no matter how bad you are, you don't deserve that shit.
At this point, like, there's really no turning back.
Yeah.
Like, even if they find you, not guilty.
Exactly.
Good luck explaining that to all of the parents. Dog.
And this is not even in a time of, like, let's even go to the 80s, as recently as the 80s, where there's no such thing as the internet.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you go in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
One said, Google your name. It's a rap.
Surgery.
I don't know
how I can follow that movie now. That movie is kind of special. My number one movie, now no longer The Act of Killing, is a film that is very special to me. It's kind of amazing. It is probably one of the most depressing films you will ever watch, and it's called The Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's a never seen it, or...
No, I don't think I've heard of this one.
Serious? Oh, wow. This is a Studio Ghibli film, not a Miyazaki movie.
Is that the new one?
No, okay. This is an old one. It's from the 80s,
mm-hmm.
I think 89. About a group of children who lose their parents after the bomb has fallen in Japan.
Oh, no. Never mind. I've heard of this movie. I'm sorry.
And it's about their lives,
mm-hmm.
after that point. Guys, the world...
Yeah, I remember...
The world is really sad.
I remember the first time I heard about the
Have
movie.
You not watched this movie?
Mm-mm. I heard
this
about
a
it a long time ago. No.
Trying to watch?
The thing is, I heard about this movie so long ago that it would have been probably impossible to get my hands on the movie at that time. But I remember... reading an article or reading some review, somebody put up something about the movie, and I'm like, there's no, you can't make a movie like this for children.
It's not for children at all,
right? And at the end of the article I realized that it is an adult ass movie with bright colors.
Grave of Fireflies, guys.
Yes,
it's really sad.
I want to watch it a lot. My number one, and this was easy, because this is the movie that has depressed me more than anything else in a long time. It's called Invisible War. It's a documentary about how they treat women in the military. Not just things that you'd expect. Not just, oh, she's a girl, so, you know, we say certain things and we play certain pranks and whatever. It is essentially a movie that investigates the rate of sexual molestation of women in the goddamn army. And it is crushing. I mean, after you watch it, at least as a man, right? It is, there are very few movies that when the movie ends, I'm like, I don't want to be part of the male population anymore. I don't want to be part of this group of people that thinks that this is even kind of sort of okay. And it is not. This is what it was then, and this is what it is now. It was horrendous then, and it is unbelievable now. Like, it is staggering. It is frightening. And these are the women that you'd assume are the strongest women. They carry hardware that they have, like, 30 pounds of equipment on. They're the strongest. They're the fastest. Some of them are the brightest. And just this systematic use of the military hierarchy to essentially rape these women. And you just go, this is impossible. Like, there's no... And no one talks about it. Because the military essentially governs the military. So news about it doesn't go out. So it just remains invisible. And the statistics are... It is the most depressing thing. And when I watch it, I'm like, this is impossible. There's no way an organization is allowed to get away with it. And then you go on the internet and you're like, oh, wait, no. This is the world. You just got the world. And it's not isolated just to America. Because when I went, I'm like, all right. If you type in rape in the military, you'd hope it would have just been American article.
Based on this documentary.
But nope. It's just this widespread thing where men hopped up on C4 and Arms House. Allow women in the military essentially to rape them. This is essentially what it is. It's so bad. And I don't know. Like, women have fought hard for equality for a long time. And of course, you know, as men, we make a lot of jokes. And in fairness, a lot of the jokes are funny. I could have helped it. All right. I'm sorry, guys.
Damien.
It was too easy.
God.
But
oh, God.
You just watch as, like, even the joke that I made a while ago. Right? There are people who would take that as, oh, I guess it's not that serious of her. But this
they'll
is,
take that as Damien's yeah, the worst Damien is the worst person in the world. And Andrew is the second worst for laughing.
Like, you watch it and you go,
tied only with Douglas because he laughed as well.
Like, I have sisters, I have a mother, I have aunts, I have cousins, and you go, how would I deal with that situation? Like, they come back and they say, you know how I joined the army to fight for everybody's freedom? You know what they did the entire time I was there? Rape me. Let's go. And all of those people are in prison? Nope. What do you... Like, if you're... They interviewed this one girl's husband, and you just looked at... And he... Every time he stared into the camera, you just see him, like, an inch away from, like, getting guns and attacking an army base. Right? And you just... Like, how on earth... Does this keep happening? And it just continues. And it is... It's very sad. It's very depressing. And... I mean... Of course, you want it to stop, but... What do we do? This is a real thing. It's not a movie thing. This is like a thing that happens.
The army could say, guys...
Hey, no more raping.
No more.
Hey,
could.
Hey, how about we do what the church did? No more molesting. No? Can we please stop it? Like, guys, can we stop it? Men, specifically.
But didn't the church just do the patented church shuffle?
Right, God forgives. So they don't have to worry. Right?
Oh, wow.
I don't know how it works in the military.
Okay.
I just like everyone to note, if I rank third in the worst person right now, because
wow,
you couldn't hear my laugh.
Wow. Anyway, let's please move on from this.
Yes.
So,
depressing.
My number one movie is probably my number one fuck this movie kind of movie.
That was on my honorable mentions.
Right.
I left it off.
Yeah. Andrew, I have a special relationship with this movie because I don't have to watch this movie. You just mention its name and I get angry.
I think you just mentioned the director's name and you get angry.
That too. But for not quite separable, but kind of different reasons because of the director. But, Andrew, do the right thing.
You gotta do the right thing.
One of the worst movies.
That you love.
Actually, let me say it differently. One of the best movies that I hate. Right? And I hate it. And I hate it because of the emotions that it brings out in me. Or that it brought out. Because I don't think I've watched it a second time. I don't think I can bear watching that movie more than once. And it's a great...
You should have seen how angry he was the other day when he sat down and watched a bit of Jungle Fever with me.
Oh, yeah.
Douglas's hate for Spike Lee is the reason I have not rewatched any of these movies.
But the thing about it is, Spike Lee is a great director.
No.
He has, you know, this skill... And it's not just skill, because skill is one thing. People can be skillful. He has a vision, right? And
he had a vision for a good long time, and he's thrown it all away.
You know, when you watch his movies, they are beautiful. You know, a lot of them. I just have a problem with the pervasiveness of some of his views, which I understand it because of how we grew up, and I think that divide, that hatred that I have really comes from the divide in terms of how he grew up versus how I grew up, because I didn't have to deal with shit like that, thankfully, right? Maybe it's because I was closeted, because I think we were closeted quite a bit when we were young. But also, I don't think that sort of mentality is as pervasive here and in the time that we grew up as it was when he grew up and in the place that he lives. Even to this day, it's there, and I know that, right? And it hurts me to admit that, because I kind of want to live in this fantasy world where there's no such thing as racism, and you know, all people are at their base, at their core, good people, and we just make mistakes sometimes.
Isn't that why Damien laughs at me so much? Because I pretend that's real all the while.
but the way that he kind of approaches that, exactly, reality is what it is, and reality is not a pretty thing, right? But the way he approaches it, and you know, I can get on my high horse and be like, Spike Lee and BET and all of these things are just creating a bigger rift in that divide. But the truth is that there's a reason that, you know,
the
divide exists, and that it's being wedged even more. Because if you grow up, if that's what you know, you know, you fight against it. You don't. There are very few people that are like, all right, guys, hold on.
This oppression feels great.
Not even that, right? Let's forget that for the moment. But there are few people who are strong enough and noble enough and good enough to be like, all right, you guys fucked us for the last like million years. Let's just be friends.
There was one, he died
exactly,
recently.
Right?
He's not dead.
So, you know, train
is
station.
All over. Right? It's over.
So I guess I need to understand that, but every time I even think about that movie, and just the way that people behave in that movie, specifically Spike Lee's character, specifically at the end of that movie, I want to punch him in the face.
Face punch.
And as negative as my view is on that movie, just from an emotional standpoint, as I keep saying whenever I talk about this movie, that's just how good this movie is. Because for me to hate it, like, I don't dislike this movie. I don't kind of think it's okay. I fucking hate this movie and the way it makes me feel. So for you to inspire that much emotion just goes to show how great a filmmaker you are or can be. Because yes, we all make fun of his mistakes.
Yes.
You know, but...
Chocolate Bear.
Goddamn, this guy knows his shit.
Chocolate Jones.
Sorry. Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. You're right. So I don't talk about Spike Lee much on this podcast for one simple reason. Growing up, all the movies with black people were
exploitation movies,
mm-hmm.
or these are the most gang, like Boys in the Hood, yeah. the most gangster shit imaginable.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch the gangster shit, so it was just exploitation movie, like Shaft and nonsense, yeah. right?
And Roots.
And of course, depressing shit. And then one day, Spike Lee appeared with like 4 movies behind him, and he went, "Holy shit, they can actually make movies." And then all of them were Spike Lee, Spike Lee, Spike Lee. And so, I have a reverence for Spike Lee that only if you grew up in a situation like that, you can have that reverence. So even though I rag on Spike Lee all the time, there's no way for me to separate those movies and what I think about those movies from Spike Lee himself. So he'll get a free pass from me. He's the only director that could keep making terrible movies like what he keeps putting out. Because even that one with the preacher nonsense, I saw that movie.
I still have one.
It's not bad.
Oh,
it's
the
not
Red
good.
Hook
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Him returning to his Brooklyn stories.
It's not good
stories.
At all. But I don't care. And it helps that he did Inside Man recently. So I have.
Well, recently is like, isn't that like 10 years ago now?
I don't care. I don't care. I have something to look. I can point to. I'm going to look over there.
And again, even
it wasn't
movie,
just the
90s. Came out. And I was like,
and the 80s. It's that.
We don't have to be racist in every movie, Spike.
Yes, he does.
We don't.
And so, like, it doesn't make any sense for me to, like, explain what I think about those movies. Because those movies were the first movies that, and it is what saddens me that now people act as if it is unfair for me to hate Tyler Perry movies because he is doing for black people movies what, and like, no, he's doing the exact opposite.
Yes, thank you.
Making good movies is the priority. I don't care if you put 100 million black people in there and the movie is terrible.
Need more fruit.
I'm
pills.
Going to tell you that the movie is terrible. It has nothing to do with me. There's no, what benefit do I get out of rooting for something for the sole purpose that it is, that is racist. And that is what you guys are railing against. But you, yes, there's things in Hollywood that you don't like and you'd like to see more black people and you don't want to only see them as Will Smith and
Martin Lawrence.
Stop it. Stop it. And Training Day guy.
That is how you
Training Day. And Denzel, right? They're essentially archetypes. They're these type of people and they're acceptable black people to a white audience. But I'd prefer they continue to do that than put out just reams of garbage and expect me to go, black people in it. So, I'm on board. White people don't do that. White people don't go, well, white people in this. So this is terrific. Like, what are you people talking about? Being good is what I want. It's all I want. Right? And Spike Lee, for years, was the only, like, it was just him on an island by himself. And he put out great movies that I'll never be able to separate from my childhood and from what my idea of good movies is. So it doesn't make any sense, but he put out some real, real clangers.
I can't imagine what I would have thought of Do the Right Thing if I saw that when I was like 11.
Yeah, and that is precisely the age as I saw it. It was like magic on the screen. Right? You just go, oh, this is incredible. I know he's put out, man. I guess at a certain point, the genius fades. What is left?
I think there actually is an old man syndrome. I really do. A lot of people suffer from it. There's a select few that don't.
I think even with rap music, you can see it. There, the separation between what it is that made it that way. The money separates you from it. There's only so much time you can spend away from that before you simply don't know what you're talking about. Like, Spike Lee can't relate to anybody. He sits at Knicks games like every night. What inner city person can relate to that? Zero of them. So he's making old boy. I can't relate to any of these people now.
Which I hear is horrible, by the way.
Douglas, did you really think he was going to be anything else?
I hoped. Spike Lee can make a good movie. He knows how to do it.
I'm not saying no. But
so I would hope, yes, that it would be good.
Douglas, think about American revenge movies.
I saw one just this year that was fantastic.
Named?
That was almost on this list, called Blue Ruin.
We can't see that movie.
Yeah, but like three people. I'm talking about things with like a studio behind it. Of course, you can't make indie movies do anything you feel like. But this is like a real movie that people are going to see. You can't do that. You really think that they put that much money behind it? And like, yeah, they're going to do this justice. It was never going to happen. You knew it. You knew deep down inside.
Right,
weren't
you
going
want,
to hit
you
it.
Want a revenge movie that's awesome,
mm-hmm.
that had a big budget behind
right.
it, and a big studio, and big stars.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about True Lies.
And with that,
I think we should end the podcast.
Douglas wins. Douglas won the podcast.
Douglas won the podcast.
Damian won most races. Thank you.
As usual, thanks so much for listening. You can hear the podcast as always over on gmanreviews.com as well as through iTunes and Stitcher. That's it.
Yeah, we're on the internet, bitches.
Good night, people.
Can we get James Franco to do our outro? In the
Spring Breakers voice. That's Alien.
You.